Good morning, everybody. This is IT Live, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Texas Homer. Next to me is Eric Nolene. Down low, Coach Dub. Good to see you. We are going to be discussing today the position group rankings. A lot to like there. A little bit of questions there as well. And then we have the final portal additions. We'll talk a little bit about the new quarterback we added. And then we'll catch in with Charlie about the latest on recruiting. Good morning, Roaster. AR, morning, gents. If you're going through something, just remember you could be an Aggie. That's true. That's really uplifting and powerful stuff, AR. Thank you. All right. Let me pull up the rankings. Let's look at them.
This is just a discussion piece. You know, I wasn't trying to be authoritative. Just wanted to get the board talking.
Yeah, get going, chat.
Yeah.
All right. So you think number one is linebacker?
Yeah, I did when I wrote that Sunday morning. You know, the top three could probably change. Linebacker, well, I guess you're going to keep it, you know, suspenseful. But the top three can change because they all have a nationally elite, potentially best player in the country at his position. And then some have different other questions. But I like the overall depth of linebacker. The fact that we were not talking about Trey Moore nearly as much because we were talking about Brad Spence.
Yeah,
and we already know Trey Moore is a baller, and he's going to play. You know, probably play both linebacker and edge. You know, that tells me a lot. I think that's the math I was using there was Trey Moore is, you know, barely talked about in the second half of spring ball because of Brad Spence, and I also have a longstanding fondness for Leonga Lafau and Ty Anthony Smith as well. So, yeah, I think that's justifiable. Anthony Hill's going to go to top 10 as a linebacker, an off ball linebacker, which tells you how special he is.
I was waiting for Coach to say something.
No, I was going to say, look, you can't go wrong with it, but if you look at the top three, like you said, you got an elite player at each position. Safety, I probably would – you can go with them because they got more. I think you have more depth, but like you said, linebackers are kind of – you talk about Brad Spence coming on, right? You hear a little bit about Elijah Bourne towards the end of spring ball. So it's like, I don't know. That makes up for an elite defense, right? That's all three levels of somebody having elite players. You can't go wrong with either one.
Yeah, there's absolutely zero dead weight there. The only person that's a little bit behind is the true freshman, Bo Barnes. And, you know, he started picking off the ball in scrimmages later in spring. So, you know, if you're intercepting the ball, you're having a better – because you normally when you intercept the ball, you're exactly where the coaches wanted you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you he's got a better understanding of the defense. He's coming along. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's nothing but NFL players in that room.
That's wild.
Yeah. That's wild. I'll allow it, Eric. I grant you linebacker as number one.
Okay. All right. I'll take it.
We can move forward now. Edge, number two.
Oh, well, they're probably all NFL players too.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's like these rooms are pretty sick, dude.
Yeah.
So
if Trey Moore had stayed at linebacker at edge the whole time, I probably would have had to go with edge just because the depth is so ridiculous. You know, there's going to be times Colin Simmons is on the at one edge and Trey Moore's at the other. We heard that when they were, you know, getting Trey Moore to come back. You know, they didn't bring him back to sit on the bench. You can't do that with a senior that's got NFL ambitions. You know, the thing about edges, I would have probably had them, might have had them number one if Vosick was healthy for all of spring and Zena had stayed healthy. We'd have a better understanding of how good those guys are. We feel good about them. We feel like they're both going to be NFL players eventually, provided Colton stays healthy. Lance Jackson, know how we feel about him.
Yep.
Edge, you can make the case that Edge is number one. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Look, about edges, this may be far-fetched. Y'all think Colin can win the Heisman from the edge spot as a sophomore? I mean, I feel like he has that kind of ability where it take over every single game. Yeah.
Well, first of all, they're going to have a bit of a problem. I guess it didn't affect them too much. But, you know, when Sark was at Alabama, all these other Alabama players were stealing Heisman votes from each other. Sure. You know, what if Anthony Hill houses a couple pick sixes? You know, Derek Brooks way back in the day at Florida State, he was early in the Heisman running because he had some pick sixes. That's a long time ago. I'm dating myself. But, you know, I think Anthony Hill, you know, if Anthony Hill puts up a 10-sack season and four or five picks, you know, he'll get some votes. But, you know, the voters are not – it's just a totally offensive position, unfortunately. It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. And, well, luckily quarterbacks don't seem as great the past 3 years. I don't know if defenses are getting better, but it does seem like there's at least more conversation about non-quarterback Heismans, which is positive.
Well, Travis Hunter helped last year. Jensen helped last year. Running backs, you know, running backs just use it, win it all the time. You know, Jaden Daniels deserved it the year before. So that was a year where, okay, the quarterback, they didn't go with the best player on the best team. They went with the best player in the country who was on a, you know, sort of an underachieving, but okay team, really good offense, you know, poor defense. So they got that one right. I was actually impressed.
Yeah. They're getting a little better about it. But also, I think Colin Simmons has the requisite star power too, like the confidence. You can get Colin Simmons on Gatorade commercials and people will be like hyped up. You know, so you can promote him.
Texas is about to be a different animal as far as national perception goes, too. They're all going to elevate each other. So, you know, Colin Simmons goes out there and has 15 sacks, which I think is likely. He'll probably be in the top 10. I mean, without a doubt, he'll be in the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So Colton Vosick, Burke, Simmons, Umiazulu, once he gets back, what was the time horizon on his injury?
He had to have surgery on his hand, finger, something like that. I don't know. I heard he'll be back in for spring ball, or August camp, 100%. The only guy in there that's, I don't want to say dead weight, that's not the right word, but don't have high expectations for this year, Smith Orogbo, and that's only because he's kind of coming in built like Joe Osai. You know, he's got to put on some weight, even on the leaner side of Joseph Osai. But, you know, that take made perfect sense because you've got Colin in front of him. Colin has to be in Texas for two more years. So it gives Orogbo the perfect time horizon to get his body right.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be doing the right thing if I didn't get my requisite Lance Jackson. Man, I think he's going to be a first rounder. Every chance we mention Edge, I just got to say Lance Jackson.
They're playing him on both sides. I think, you know, if they do want to play Trey Moore at linebacker or they want to get a bigger run presence at Buck or just rest Colin, Colin's going to have to get some rest at some point. They've got Jackson over there. Because, again, Smith Orogbo, it's too early for him. So, Jackson, if you want to get a true freshman five-star on the field, which you pretty much have to get your five stars on the field, either you have to get them on the field or they weren't five stars in the first place. So I think you can do Justice Terry at Jack, the bigger, you know, the Baron Sorrell position, and you can put Jackson at the Colin Simmons position, and you can be, A, you can get your young five stars on the field. B, you can still be really stout against the run. Yeah. And they're still going to give you something in the pass rush as well, just because they're freaks.
Yeah. My comp for Lance Jackson is Trice from Washington. And I think that play style would be really cool on him.
Yeah. Well, you know, recruited Trice, you know, PK,
right? PK.
Yeah. Yeah. So it makes sense, right? All right. AR, honestly want to know how offenses will stop our third down packages. Like, who are you double teaming?
Well, you know, I'm still trying to figure out what they're going to be. We're going to learn a lot more about them in August. You know, spring is just, you know, really where you're hammering the fundamentals. They were trying to assimilate the, you know, 30 new players. They're going to pick things up a lot. Your IQ is going to have to improve. They're going to find ways. Jonah Williams, another player, is a five-star. Yeah. They have to figure out a way to get on the field. Luckily, we've heard they're going to run, you know, a lot more dime packages. He's an easy guy to get on the field. All of them are easy guys to get on the field. But we're going to hear a lot more about the third down packages. And, you know, in the case of dime, I don't think it's just going to be third and long. I think it's going to be, you know, it could be a go-to defense depending on what the offense is showing.
I mean, you can do it first and 10 if you want to play the odds, right? 50-50.
If you're stout enough up front against the run, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, I will. But, like, once it's, like, third and 11, this team is going to be exciting.
I mean, 3 years, man. You're in trouble. Man. Yeah,
the ball better come out fast, dude.
Yeah. I mean, they're dropping Colin Simmons a lot more than you'd ever expect. And people are like, that's horrifying. You can't drop the best pass rusher in America. But you can do it when you're going to simulate pressure from somewhere else, bring pressure from somewhere else, and, you know, take away a running back in the flat who would normally be your outlet for your quick pressure. It's not going to happen all the time, but we've heard him running step for step with the running backs out of the backfield, which, maybe, you know, if you've seen him play, it's not hard to imagine that. But it's still the versatility that they have. Not just versatility on the field, though, the versatility on the headsets. You've got a bunch of different guys with a ton of experience. You know, Johnny Nansen did a lot of interesting, quirky things at Arizona that I think we'll start to see a little bit more of this season.
Well, and also just strategically, they're going to try to account for Simmons on the rush. And if you drop him there, that's going to allow more coverage. That's going to increase the odds that they don't convert a third down. Yeah. So even though you want to call in Simmons sack, man, if they don't convert on third down and this is still a top five third down defense, you're going to be doing all right.
Yeah, especially when your off-ball linebackers are such good blitzers too. So it's not like you're really sacrificing pressure. You're just bringing it from somewhere else.
Yep. Did you guys see Moore's game suspension he placed on himself this morning?
No, I haven't. It's a busy weekend. I'm trying to get caught up on everything.
They dropped it like first thing this morning. It was So he got in trouble for scouting illegally. So he's imposed a game three and game four self suspension. And I think it's Central Michigan and then like Nebraska. But it's just, it's so silly and performative. Also, the risk reward there, like, dude, if you can get away with doing the legal stuff, it's like you're not on the field head coach. You're still head coaching. You told everyone what they want to do. They know the play tree. It's just it's so silly, dude.
Well, and they're walkover teams too. You know, Michigan with its NIL and all the trouble they're getting in, they might have to relocate to the SEC.
I know they're
SEC ball, man. Yeah, I'm not sure that they're a Big Ten. You know, they always used to be big on their academics and doing things the right way. It's Michigan, Notre Dame, and you know, Texas was kind of like that too. That like the teams that just are too good to get down in the mud. And then here you have Michigan as you know doing everything and then some to get an advantage.
Yeah, but it's just such a dumb way of doing business that we have now. It's like, see, we're handling it internally.
Yeah.
Number three, also elite safety because of three nationally elite starters.
Man.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what to do with star yet. I've been saying forever that Jelani McDonald is probably going to play star, but there wasn't a ton of evidence of that during spring. So I'm trying to, you know, what we hear has to align with the field for me to actually continue reporting it. Now, I did play star in the scrimmage to end spring ball. So that's encouraging as far as the reporting goes. And we know that they want to get all three of their safeties on the field because they want to get their five best DBs on the field. So it only makes sense that Jelani will end up at star. But, you know, for right now it's at safety. I would drop safety if I moved him to star under quarterback. But you got Michael Taft, second team All-American, quarterback on the field, baller on the field too. Derek Williams playing extremely well before he got hurt. I haven't heard anything about him not coming back full strength. Plus he's a mutant. You know, that guy's just going to heal faster than most people. And then Jelani, who is, you know, first round talent. So, and you know, Jordan Johnson-Rebell is going to play a lot this year, especially if Jelani is at star. And, you know, Jordan Johnson-Rebell, I've called him like a super Chris Brown. He's a better version of Chris Brown. Chris Brown was a good college player.
Great singer too.
All right.
This is going to be weird at safety because, you know, everyone loves Makuba. So Makuba and Taft. But I think this group of safeties is going to be exciting in a different way. And that's what, like, just like pure athleticism there, bigger. I think you're going to love this safety room as much, but in a different style.
Yeah. You made note for, and then you still got the depth. You got Jonah, who's playing baseball, going to come up. You got Zellis Hicks, who's going to be in the room. Like, it's so much talent and versatility in that safety room. They're going to push each other. I mean, it's different. You can flat out go cover zero and not have to worry about it with the safety back that you got. You know, that's strange. Most teams cannot do that, right? And so they can mix and match and do whatever they want with that safety room, man. It's going to be dangerous.
Yeah. Another reminder that there's just very, very, very little dead weight on this roster. You know, the only guys that you don't expect much out of this year are coming along and just young.
Yeah. And you'll see, this is something I have pulled up. If we look at this, you see this roster churn. I just want you to pay attention when Eric's saying there's very little dead weight. Look, man, so these are the younger guys, right? If you don't perform, you're gone. You know, it's like you get – if you're an upperclassman and you're not doing much or have much going for you, like you're going to SMU or TCU or something like that. That's always things I've noticed. It's like the 10% like in corporate America, you know, they'll like
the Pareto principle, 80-20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they,
which reminds me, I need to fire a couple guys, man. If you go back to December's and I said, guys, you got to be ready for the amount of over turnover in the defensive back room. I was like, you guys have no idea what's coming. Yeah. And you know, they're getting rid of guys that played a ton, you know, mm-hmm. Jaron Thompson, Keaton Crawford, Jalen Catalan, who went on to be awesome this year at UNLV. Right.
That was crazy.
And there was a couple more, a couple corners. It's just, you know, that, like Connor said, you always have to be turning over your roster in a positive way. And that's why Texas is still working towards its best roster possible. You know, I think, maybe in the offensive line, but still in the O-line, you still want guys that are developing long curve because you're going to need them as upperclassmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is not a sentimental staff. They have a lot of hard conversations. Like we're saying with Jaron Thompson, like that was a starter for years, you know, like these guys make some fairly brutal NFL-like.
Yeah, the guys they're sentimental towards are still NFL players. Like, they're sentimental towards Ryan Niblett because they feel like he's an NFL something. Trey Wisner, they're sentimental to him because he's such a hard, hard-nosed kid, versatile, selfless kid. They're sentimental, but at the same time, the guys they're sentimental towards are really freaking good too.
Yeah, yeah, sentimental, and those guys help you win.
Yeah.
And they're not just buddies. All right, guys, before we keep going. Academy Sports and Outdoors, baby. Academy Sports and Outdoors is your new home for Jordan gear. Gear up today and take flight on the court, off the court, and above the court. Unleash your greatness with head-to-toe Jordan gear for the entire family. Available in-store and at academy.com. Elevated styles and shoes for everyone. Unstoppable value every single day. Plus, Academy offers easy ways to shop and save time, like free one-hour in-store or curbside pickup on academy.com orders. Or choose same-day delivery powered by DoorDash. Order by 4 p.m. and you can get it by 8 p.m. It's that fast. Check out our full Jordan selection today at Academy Sports and Outdoors.
And we got one coming in right down the road, Montgomery, Texas. You know, already people, there's like, I would say 72% of the men around here wear Columbia fishing shirts every time I step out of the house. And yeah, that's going to be 100% by the time that Academy's built, or 99.9% probably.
Just Magellan, wall to wall. I actually went to Academy this weekend. This shirt's from Academy.
Yeah.
They have a good deal on these BCG just plain tees. They're like $7.99, and I just go and get like 10 of them at a time, man.
Oh, that's the workout shirt for sure. But yeah, my kid is now all of a sudden into basketball. I don't know how that happened. So every other house here has a basketball hoop out front. So he wants one of those. But then he's looking in the backyard. He's like, what do you mean just one basketball hoop? How are we going to play a game if we don't have one basketball? I'm not putting in a basketball court in the backyard,
bro. We're playing half court, dude. Half make it, take it, dude. We're
not. Yeah, he doesn't understand make it, take it yet.
I haven't heard it in a long time. Hey,
that's funny. All right, number four, quarterback, elite starter. Added a little bit to the room. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But we feel good about. And have you seen the arch? The arch conversation has begun, Eric. There's the lists are coming out, man. So either you're with Arch, you've seen enough, or you're doing the stylish, we don't really know about Arch Manning thing, and then now you have 70 comments and you're
yeah, up. Right. Yeah. No, I think it's kind of like it's going to be like a mix, and this sounds like it's an impossible thing to happen, but like a mix of Joe Burrow and Tim Tebow. You know, the Tim Tebow hype, but yeah, Arch can also throw a forward pass like Joe Burrow, and he's got that swagger that Joe Burrow has. It's not Arch is a man of that entire team. It's not like the quarterback that just goes and hangs out with the center and that, you know, it's like he's a man of the entire team. Kind of like how Sam Ehlinger was, you know. Sam Ehlinger might be out with Gary Johnson the night before and then in church the next morning with some other players. Arch is like that. Arch has that. So, and Joe Burrow, of course, has it. My question there was depth. I've been writing for a long time that, you know, there's a lot more intrigue about quarterback two to come, and we found some of that intrigue yesterday. But yeah, Arch, as long as they're healthy, you know, it's kind of a hard room to rate because it's really a room of one. If you're just rating best players on the team, I just had Arch number two, based on what a source said, behind only Colin Simmons. But yeah, depth is a bit of an issue. And people are like, well, if he gets hurt, season's over. No, that's not how football works. If he misses one or two games, the season is assuredly not over. And if you have a transfer that can win you one game, let's say A&M's the last game of the year, let's say you need to win that game to make the playoffs. Would you rather have a guy that's got some experience or somebody getting their very first start?
So Ian did a great job on his piece. He said basically this new quarterback that came in that we'll talk about is he's like a Malik Murphy, can win you a Kansas State, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need if Arch gets hurt. Hey, we'll change up the game plan. Let's do a little bit more run-centric stuff. Caldwell can move. And even remember one of the most unique start games ever when Roschon Johnson had to beat Kansas State on his
back.
Stark will get weird with it. And as long as you have a quarterback that has some understanding, that's going to be important to like eke out a couple games if Arch gets hurt.
That was one of the most underrated wins of Sark's tenure. And it happened because Texas was 5-7.
Mm-hmm.
Roschon, they were on a 6-game losing streak, I think. And they're about to go in the offseason. They know they're not going bowling. To go in, I think that gave renewed optimism in the program, within the players. Everybody stuck around except for the guys that they didn't want to stick around.
Right.
They smashed that offensive line class, and that helped them get Arch. I mean, that win was very big.
Well, it just showed a lot with Sark. You know, we always will say, you know, he'll tailor the game plan. But to see it that radically tailored, you know, within like a week, that was one of the cool. Like, if you're a hipster, given your Sark wins, a good hipster pick would be that Kansas State win with Roschon Johnson.
Oh, I think it's top five. I if I know where I was when I watched it, I was in a Chili's in Kingman, Arizona, watching that game. I wanted that win so bad just because of the, you know, just because they were so close in all those games, even the Kansas game that they had no business losing. But
yeah,
all those games were extremely close. Should have gone most of them. You know, if you watch the first half, you're thinking there's no way Texas loses this game. Right. And then they pulled that off, and Roschon ended up becoming Roschon's team after that game.
Yeah. Well, and it's just funny because also kept Kansas State from getting any wins from us for like ever. Like, we beat them like six times straight, even when it made no sense. Like, Kansas State was OU's boogeyman. They were like the opposite of a boogeyman to us. We had no problem with them.
It's hate playing him.
Yeah, but they're not fun to play because they're a good team. But for some reason with us, like, we just had them figured out across coaches too, which was weird. Kansas State and Texas is a weird matchup for whatever reason. All right, quarterback. So what was it with Lacy, of course, very young. Trey Owens, we didn't see the jump there at quarterback two that we were expecting. We were having a turnover. What was it?
Man, I think they wanted a guy even before spring. It's experience, like we talk about all the time. You just, if it's a tie goes to the experience.
That's true.
You know, that's why, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, Kobe Black's going to start. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's going to be Jalen Gilbo. I think it's going to be that experience factor. You've got to earn your experience, and then you become an experienced player before you actually – you're getting your first start, but you're already very experienced, you know?
Yeah.
They just really, really, really prioritize experience. And, you know, mature teams win college football games.
Exactly. That dude's going to help so much in the film room, though, man, on and off the field. Mm-hmm. Bringing the young guys along, kind of building that – bridging that gap, honestly.
Yeah, that was a great article that you and Ian wrote. That really kind of caught me up on it. But we'll talk about that guy in a little bit more depth here in a minute.
Yeah, he's unique. He's a good ad. All right, tight end. We have left the elite tier. We are now in the very good tier. Injuries in Washington make for a fantastic duo. Yeah, that's not a fun duo to defend. And it's crazy how much injuries was able to change that outlook.
Yeah, because all of a sudden you feel like, okay, Emory Winston as a depth player, you feel pretty good about. You're actually pretty excited about. But depending on him a lot this year would have been, you know, not ideal. And then Jordan Washington is ready for prime time. You know, we know that guy's going to be a star. And then injuries, proven guy. Yeah, you know, maybe there's some blocking sacrificed here, run blocking. But they're going to be devastating even in 12 personnel from a receiving standpoint.
I'll say it again. Oh, anything over 90% reception rate is insane.
Insane, very.
Like, that just doesn't happen.
And he's good after the catch. Welcome from South Korea, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, shout out. But, yeah, that's when I was watching his highlights, shout out ACC because they just, like, get their players poached by putting all their best players 20 minutes worth of highlights. But he had good catch and run. He's going to help arch over the middle.
Yeah, I was watching those. That's how I found that wide receiver that didn't go in. You know, I found his highlights like that. I'm like, man, these are fantastic highlights.
Yeah, I know. The ACC is basically giving every other coach tape.
And the ACC should know that the SEC cannot go within conference for the spring portal. So they have to go ACC or big, for the most part. So, yeah, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, and you're not getting a lot of Big 12 NFL style players. So, yeah, we appreciate the highlights. Thank you very much. Cornerback in the good tier. Muhammad and Gilbo are the likely starters. I'm higher on Gilbo than most. Why are you higher on Gilbo than most?
The experience, the fact that I've been told to be higher on him the most. Back when I had a conversation I've shared on here a few times, and it was probably last February or so, not this past one, the one before that. And we were just talking about Jahdae Barron, and you know, I've always felt that he was a corner, and they just put him at star because he could play corner, and that's what they wanted. And I felt like the NFL was significantly undervaluing him. And I was like, well, are they going to put him back at corner? It's like, well, he could play corner in his sleep. I said, well, what about Gilbo? And the guy goes, I think Gilbo's a better corner than he is a star, too. He's like, star's just a really tough position to play. And I said, okay, well, what about Barron's speed? What about Gilbo's speed? He said, they're plenty fast enough for corner. Now, most recently, I've heard that Gilbo's best shot at the NFL is probably going to be at nickel, which I think that makes sense. But, you know, this isn't the NFL. So go put him at corner. But you have to have a viable plan at star. You know, that the plan can't be just to go roll out Wardell Mack, because, again, that goes against what we're just talking about with experience. Now, Wardell Mack is ready to play, but is he ready to start?
Yeah.
That's true. I know you got good on this group. I think they got a chance to be elite. And I'm not calling them Terrell Brown, Aaron Ross in that group, but like they got, it's almost like having Vash and Babers on one side, but you had these young dudes ready to go right at the cusp of it for the next season. And I feel like this group can be that. I mean, they got a lot of young talent, man.
Terrell Brown might actually be a decent comp for Gilbo. You know, what did he go, fifth round or something? He's a huge recruit. But he was a much bigger recruit than Gilbo, but he was a dog. You know, that was a guy that was known for toughness as much as anything else. I think, you know, Gilbo's kind of has that reputation too. But that, I think, I think Gilbo's going to be good. And I really expect a big season out of Muhammad before he's off to the NFL. So what did I put? I put very good there, or good?
No, this is a good. Your cornerback is good.
Yeah, because I think I would have gone. Yeah, I guess they were elite last year. Yeah, you can make the case for very good. We'll see.
Wide receiver. There is plenty of talent to outperform this ranking. If the light is fully on for Wingo, then put the group in the top five. We're in a weird spot here with wide receiver, the seventh ranked room. What's going on?
Well, yeah, I mean Wingo. If the light comes on for Wingo fully, and he has that truly breakout season that we know he's capable of, then I'm kind of expecting it. But man, I don't want to raise expectations too high on the poor guy. But yeah, we know that since the portal guys didn't go in, that you know they view him as wide receiver one, and you know DeAndre Moore wide receiver two. Now that's not necessarily how it's gonna. It doesn't mean that that's how it's gonna play out during the season. You can see more if his hands are more consistent. You know, he could have a really big breakout. You know, I think, like I said, I think this is Moore's last year. Yeah. He's going to be productive. He's fast. He's a good athlete. You know, has some intangibles as well. But Wingo's the star. He's the upside player. And then I like what Mosley brings to the table as somebody that raises the floor and might even allow Moore to go outside and become every bit as good as the two guys that they were hoping would go into the portal.
Yeah, Mosley going to be a huge addition. You put him in injuries in the slot. I know injuries is a tight end, but those guys, when you go 11 personnel, they're going to get open for Arch across the middle and do a lot of things, right? So you can slide more outside. I think you got Livingstone, you got McCutcheon. You know, you got some babies out there, but I think you mix those guys in with these guys. And Wingo really turns it on, becomes that number one player everybody thinks he is. It can be a really good room as well.
Well, also, too, schematically, right, like if you're going to move him outside, he's going to be more likely like the Z position, the flanker, the mover. And you remember, they put Moore in motion a ton. Even last year in the slot. So we know that he can move in motion behind the line. We know he's got the long speed like Eric's talking about. We saw him catch the fade from Arch against Mississippi State. Yeah. You know, so it's like we have enough evidence here to project that Moore can do it.
He can approximate Matthew Golden this season. Matthew Golden made some extremely difficult catches, not just with his hands, but with his body control.
Yeah.
You know, Golden did some special things out there, especially later in the year. I don't know if Moore has that, but he has the ability to get open, win deep. He's good after the catch. Yeah, I think that addition to Mosley is probably as big for, you know, adding that experience as it is to just getting Moore, and it might be his best position.
Yeah. Do y'all have a dark horse wide receiver that'll contribute that no one is talking about?
If there was a dark horse that no one was talking about, I would be talking about him. So there's a bit of a paradox there. You know, Parker Livingstone, I think, with the play-action game this season could be big. We know he's very fast, won deep plenty of times this spring. Aaron Butler has the ability, but was not as consistent in the spring. He finished strong, but wasn't as consistent as they thought. Still a ton of upside. You know, he's still working through some things. I think Livingstone's probably going to be wide receiver four this season.
I don't know how he's going to get time because I don't know how slot's going to work, but we also heard a lot of great stuff about Dalen McCutcheon. So I guess if we're talking like guys you need to pay attention to, maybe not this year, but going forward, dark horsey stuff.
Yeah. The true freshman I would watch is Dalen. And, you know, we were writing that before spring ball, just because it's, you know, his game is so refined for a true freshman.
That's my guy.
Yeah. So I think wide receivers, it's just an interesting position this year if we can figure it out. The thing with Moore, man, is like as long as the hands are there, I feel really good about whatever Moore does. We just can't be dropping stuff. And, of course, he knows that. Mosley seems like a very willing blocker. I saw him run someone's ass into the sideline. Yeah, that on that clip too. He wasn't. That's important to see from a wide receiver too.
He'll mix it up. Like I said, you got. He's one of those guys. What you do without the ball matters, and he's one of those.
Yeah, and he went to Stanford too, so he's got that. What is it? Intellectual brutality.
Yeah, that's gonna make him a Chris Jackson. So you talk about guys that they might be sentimental to. That's the sort of thing that they get sentimental about.
Yeah, he can block like that. And smart enough to get into Stanford matters too, man.
And Wingo will block, and DeAndre Moore will block, and Parker Livingstone will block.
Yeah.
So we're in good shape. Daylon McCutcheon.
We also don't have a player like, so we would have like a Bond or a Worthy. Like, and don't get me wrong, Worthy had heart and would try to block, but we also don't have this like tiny receiver that we try to force into blocking situations that we're just like, guys, what do we think's gonna happen? Like,
yeah,
you know, it's like you can try to get Bond to lead block, it's just not gonna work. We don't have that body type at wide receiver this year, which is great. So theoretically, everyone has the size to block as well. It's not just like a wasted down trying to force a little guy to block somebody.
Yeah, sure.
That drives me nuts. Anytime I go back on the highlights, I'm like, what? This is not a winning situation to put ourselves in. All right. We will talk about the quarterback, Sailor Joe, here in a second. I'm marking your comment. We'll return to it. Okay. Wide receiver, weird spot, but could have value there easily. Running back, we are in the league average position. So here's the thing. Love Trey Wisner. I feel like we have to do this stupid couching every time with Trey Wisner because he has incredible fanship, and he should. But when it comes to, like, I'm comparing things to Jonathan Brooks, Bijan Robinson, like these caliber of NFL talent. So to me, I want this caliber of NFL talent leading the room. Trey is going to continue to, like, a Michael Taft to get the start because it's all up there. So this is not hitting on Trey. But I do want some of the younger guys to either have them more upside to get to the top of the room, something like that. Cause I do want to see running backs that are third or fourth rounders leading the room, not just in it. So that's why I think league average here is fair, but I want to get to a point where running back is a strength in the room. And so we'll have to, I guess, see, but I think by committee here, we'll be able to get it done. Don't get me wrong, but I am comparing to past Texas teams a little bit.
Yeah. I think we're all spoiled with the last few running backs that came through, man. Which is deservingly so, but with the RPO game with Arch able to keep the ball, I think it holds that backside defensive end where everybody, you just can't crash down a run, which may get a few more creases for these guys to hit and gain some confidence early on in the season. So I don't know. I'm excited to see. It all starts up front with the position number 9, but that's average, right? If they get going and push people out the way, I think the running backs gain confidence, and I think we better run the ball more. Like you said, maybe mix and match, running back by committee, but I think Trey can do his thing again this year. But he can also have other people behind who can kind of carry the load, so he doesn't have to take a beating like he did last year either.
100%.
Yeah, I think they'll be more productive than league average. But when you look across, it's kind of, this is not pejorative to the players. It's kind of a testament to the SEC. Like, there's a lot of really good running backs. Even bad teams have good running backs in the SEC, it seems like, really talented guys. I mean, Arkansas had 2 guys last year that were really talented, maybe 3 Auburn. Guys. Yeah, there's just really good running backs in the SEC pretty much year in, year out. So league average is not some huge negative here. I think they'll be more productive. Of course, you got a force multiplier at quarterback, which is kind of what Charlie was just talking about with the RPO game, and Arch, the threat of Arch's legs is going to make things easier. I think the gap schemes, they feel really good about that. They feel like they're going to have numbers advantage more often, much more often than they did last year. And it's going to be, it's going to springboard these guys. But if I'm just looking at the talent, what we've seen so far, I feel really good about Christian Clark. I just haven't seen enough of it with my own eyes. And I'm, you know, bullish on Jarrett Gibson, bullish on Trey Wisner. But yeah, I'm comfortable with league average for now, but also the league average in the SEC is better than league average anywhere else.
Yeah.
I just need to see it at the top of the league. You know, if like, we just have to be able to run versus Georgia. There's just not, you know. So it's like if we're gaining 200 yards a game versus the average part of our schedule, that's great. But, you know, if we want to win it all, that running has got to be important. And, of course, running back's a huge part of that. But as Charlie hinted, number 9 is where it's really going to make the difference and decide if we can make those runs.
Yeah, that was a really weird season. That was a really weird season running the ball. You know, they were either really good or really bad. There was only a couple games where it was just like, okay, yeah, you know, 25 carries for 120 yards or whatever. ran all over A&M, ran all over Clemson, ran all over OU, yeah. Struggled against Georgia twice. Arizona State game was really odd, and then Ohio State, of course. But, running against the best competition. But I do think Arch is going to help the run game.
He will. And that just changing – I mean, there's a reason they're changing conceptually right in the run game. Yeah. You know, they weren't just doing – they're not just doing that for funsies. Yeah. All right. Offensive line, we have ranked average. Now, this is where I get a little nervous, Eric. And so it's like we have offensive line, the trenches at number 9 here. And then Eric rates by number here, which is very scientific, Eric. Thank you.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking here with the offensive line? We just don't really know what we have.
Well, I think it's just a lot of mix and match. Like you feel great about Goosby, feel really good about Campbell, feel solid about Cole Hudson. Those are the three guys we have real data points on. Don't feel great about left guard right now, and I don't feel great about right tackle. And that's, you know, no coincidence. Those are the two guys we haven't seen much of. But, it's not just that I haven't seen them with my own eyes. It's just the buzz around those positions is not what I was hoping to hear. So I'm going to, I'm going to walk softly.
So what does that mean for Nato? Because that was the whole – we were excited, right? Nato's going to take over left guard. He's going to be a road grader. We're good. We finally have the three guys on the interior. Are we just not hearing enough about him? Or are we hearing things we don't want to hear?
Still not consistent enough. Just, hasn't taken the step that they're hoping for.
Okay. So that's tricky. And then we'll talk too about a potential – offensive line addition when we talk portal stuff. So offensive line question marky.
Yeah.
Tricky.
Yeah. Cole Hudson, I put Cole Hudson at average. That's only because he's playing center. I checked on that. How's, any snapping issues, stuff like that, which is, it's easier to snap in practice than it is in the game.
For sure.
You don't have nearly as much going through your head, but yeah, I feel good about Cole. Again, Cole could be a much better than a 5. I just, it's his first time playing it. He has practiced there in the past, throughout the years, so that's good. But we definitely want to see how he's doing that first game in the shoe. He's going to have all of it. He's going to have talent across from him. He's going to have pressure situations, pressure downs. I will say that the coaches don't seem to be as nervous about it. As maybe I am. I think that's because they feel good about the whole offense playing together. Obviously what the scheme changes that they're making, the fact that Arch is probably a transcendent talent, that sort of thing helps.
Cool.
Yeah. That's tough, man. But like in Gap scheme, at least you got a lot of double teams, right? And I know we got a series on Inside Text now. You got to check out. I'm about the running schemes of, power and duo and counter. So maybe that helps the offensive line as well, because at least you got somebody blocking with you majority of the time versus a lot of single blocks. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely more clear. You should know your job. All right, guys, before we keep going, let's hear from Andre the Lawyer.
This video is brought to you by Andre the Lawyer. If you're injured, trust the team that secured millions for their clients and helped thousands of Texans with their injury case. Car wrecks, slip and falls, 18-wheeler accidents, on-the-job injuries, and wrongful deaths. Don't let insurance tell you what your claim is worth. Hire Andre the Lawyer to fight for you. Principal office is in Dallas, but they serve Texans throughout the state. So don't wait and call Andre the Lawyer today at 214-444-8808. That's 214-444-8808. The contact information is in the description.
All right. Also, another thing that doesn't make me feel great. Defensive tackle is at number 10, also average. I mean, we're throwing bodies at the problem, right? The young Syracuse guy is a huge grab.
Yes.
But we're still trying to figure out, as far as Eric wanting to report and give you guys news, he has to see it first. So I think that's kind of the tricky part, right? Where it's a lot of guesswork so far.
The two most talented guys are two very young guys as well. Syracuse kid, Marad Watson, and Alex January. And so we're still getting to learn who they are. Are they going to take the next step? I feel good about the position just because of the rotation, the value of that. I'm a true believer in if you don't have two or three elite guys, just rotate a bunch of average to good guys, to good players, guys with traits. And I'm higher on Cole Brevard than most too. Watching his tape was a bit eye-opening for me. But I was surprised to hear that Alex January, you know, per one source, felt Alex January was the best D tackle throughout camp. And so does that create optimism or pessimism?
Optimism.
Yeah. Optimism for him, but I'm not sure about the, I'm not sure about the rest of the room. So
yeah.
Now I do think, you know, they're gonna have really good linebackers behind them and they're gonna have really good edges to the side of them. And they're gonna, you know, they're gonna have good coverage people helping them buy time to push the pocket as well. So I love what they did. But you know, every position I think above them has less questions.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you're talking,
But going to last year, everybody had a question about the defensive line too, interior, right? And then they end up showing up and showing out, right? And
not everybody. Okay.
I don't need to do 40, 50 snaps. If you give me 15 to 20 good snaps a game, play a couple series good, I can rotate so many bodies in. I don't think it matters. Plus, all the attention is going to be on the edges and Anthony Hill coming downhill and blowing everything up. So I think those guys will be fine just because, you, like you said, you can rotate. But I don't need you for 40 snaps. I need you for 15, maybe 20 snaps and take care of your business. Kind of like Deal Norton. Everybody has their job. I just need you to do your job. Snap you're in, that's it.
Well, yeah, one of the things we're going to watch for in August, of course, will be the rotations, who's playing with who. That'll tell us a lot. And that'll, you know, I anticipate being more optimistic then. But, yeah, you just don't see – like, you don't see an Alfred Collins or even a Vernon Broughton. Vernon Broughton I was always way high on, maybe a little too high. But, yeah, I don't see those individual talents yet. I think Alex January is on his way to becoming that. You know, but he's kind of like Alfred Collins 2 years ago instead of Alfred Collins 1 year ago.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the tricky part. I just want to see, can they keep – offensive lines off of our linebackers to let them maximize.
That's I do feel good about that for sure. Good. They got there's plenty of size. There's plenty of, and we heard good things about the motor too, which was to me that's highly encouraging. When you hear about Hero Canoe and Travis Shaw, being big and intentional and just wanting to play hard, that's that goes a long way.
Yeah, that's. Like, it's going to be interesting. We're definitely going to watch this room. But like Coach says, man, like if you play like a psycho for 15 downs, hey, I'm good with that.
That's all I need.
Yep.
All right. Star is the last ranked, and that's because we don't fully have the picture there. You know, does Jelani McDonald end up spinning down, or are we playing younger guys? It's been a weird position, frankly, this whole spring, just bodies kind of in and out.
Normally I tuck Star in with the cornerback. But, hey, they've got their own coach now, Kenoto Hudson. And I didn't want to bring cornerback down. I didn't want to punish safety, you know, just for the uncertainty. So I stuck it on its own island here. You know, we're going to learn a lot more about it in August. I wouldn't lose a second of sleep over Star right now just because I anticipate so much changing in August. And, I love the fact that young guys like Wardell Mack, Grayson Littleton got so many reps. It sounds like Grayson Littleton's going to be a star. I don't even mean that as a pun. And then Wardell Mack, to me, seems like a guy that they moved to cornerback for a senior season to highlight his skills for the NFL. You know, kind of follow the all right, you did this for the team. Now it's time for us to make sure that you can show your wares for the NFL and, you know, try to increase your value as a corner, not just an inside player.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be fun. All right. How would I rank the positions? All right, now we're going to go through my rankings. it's the thing is, this defense is going to be, to me, like this weird, electric, athletic, big, NFL-y defense. That's what I'm really excited for because of the safeties. I like the guys outside. Of course, the edges and linebackers. I don't even know how you game plan for I mean, there's some downs where there's legitimate, like, potentially 4 or 5 NFL pass rushers on the field, you know, at once, which is just insane. So I don't know how you handle that. The only thing that's giving me pause is just how unsure we are in the trenches. And we know that's been a huge aspect of our success under Sark. Yeah. But this is also an opportunity to, hey, let's see what the coaching can do too. All right. Let's look at portal additions. And let's look at the Caldwell grab. Yeah. thought this was Ian's article. This was your article. Why don't you correct me, Coach? Get your credit.
Yeah, we're both in there. Look.
You're both.
I read it this morning, and I'm like, okay, they both wrote this one. Because I could tell the Ian words, and I could tell the Coach words.
So, yeah. So what I thought, too, was interesting. He went to high school at Auburn High School.
Yeah.
In Auburn, Alabama. And so Auburn, of course, wanted him. We were able to get him.
Yes.
So anybody who's from Auburn, Alabama, it was pretty impressive that we were able to get him. And it's also another, you know, point towards Sark getting his respect too, right? And he's a fun quarterback. Now, I'm not going to trust him with the world. There's a the interception rate is pretty sketchy.
Yeah, pretty sketchy, yeah.
So, like, if we look here, he finished with 1,600 passing yards. Not good. 7.1, not good. 13 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, not good, right, on 223 attempts. What he does, to me, value-wise, from reading this and being able to watch Ian's clips, he has good mobility. So he's going to be able to run some of our Arch schemes. And this is all thinking, right, what if Arch goes down? How do you win a game? You can win a game with this guy, right? He made a decent throw on an out on one of these, which are important. Hey, man. We're not going to ask you to do anything crazy. If the play action's wide open, throw it. He can do that, that kind of thing. So it's not like he's a second-string quarterback like a Quinn Arch situation. But Arch goes down, you can joystick him. And it's important, too. He has experience, man. This is – you have Arch in there, but Lacey and Owens, it's important to see how older guys prepare, too. And I think that has a lot of value.
Yeah, I think he brings a ton of value just from a watching film standpoint. He's been in so many different systems. He's going to help them with scout team. Like, he can do so many things for this team just being a veteran QB. You playing the Rich Rod, you ran the ball, right? You ran a ton of RPO read option. All right, we're going to gap scheme where we run. I know Eric wrote about it with a counter RPO or a counter read option. Like, he can move the ball. He can move the ball with his legs. He throws a pretty deep ball when he has time. It's just when he gets rattled, you know, get a little some pressure in his face, he might turn the ball over. But he throws a pretty deep ball. He threw one against Iowa that was perfect, man. Landing right in receivers, mitts. So he has some ability. Like I said, he's a big body, a big veteran guy who's played a ton of football. But I think he's just bridging that gap between the younger guys getting ready and emergency situation. And so, I ain't got no wood to knock on. Something happens to Arch, he has to go out for a series or two, man. He can kind of step in.
Yeah, people ask a lot, you know, for the last 6 months, can Trey Owens win a game for Texas this year? My answer is always like, well, how good is the run game? This guy can help you run the ball. And you can go into ground and pound mode if you're Sark. And like you just used the word joystick, it's RPOs, ground and pound, and just try to control it from the headsets. You're just looking for pure game management out of this guy. Hope the defense makes some plays. And then it just comes down to who's the opponent, right? You're not going to beat Georgia with them. Right. Could you beat A&M? Maybe. Probably. You know? If they haven't improved their run defense, you can definitely beat A&M with this guy. And he'll still throw the ball over the top, right? If the run game is working, especially with his involvement, then you just throw it over the top. And maybe you're looking to win a game, you know, 17-14. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an important addition.
Yeah, definitely.
And I like we said, the RPO read option. All of this stuff is not going to make Sark have to have a huge break in game plan.
No.
Like, basically what Sark could do is like this stripped down basic version of the offense that everyone would base off of and be able to run that.
Yeah, he wouldn't have to go to Roschon Johnson and just run it 31 times like he did against Kansas State in 2021.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can still run your offense. It's going to be – he's probably going to have – it'll be a single laminate card.
Right.
That's what you do, and you tell your team, hey, pick up the slack, run block better. A defense needs to make more plays. Yeah.
Yeah. Team. I didn't even realize how much I like this until it happened. You know, I wasn't like super obsessed with getting like a transfer quarterback or anything, but once he lands this, I was like, you know what, this is actually just a really good, thoughtful, once again, NFL GME type of move just to make sure that things are shored up.
The season matters too much to it
for sure.
Crater because Arch missed two games, you know,
yeah.
and the season could crater just by missing one crucial game if they don't give himself enough leeway.
Right.
Yeah, we've seen that you got to really thread the needle some of these times, so that's really cool. And then another potential grab at offensive line, Eric.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see if it happens. I think it's possible. Somebody that has swing ability, play inside or outside. Yeah, we'll see. I'm not exactly sure what's out there, but grad transfers are still allowed to transfer. And we know they're proactive. We know they're always going to do what they can to improve the roster. And I believe there's actually one spot left. You know, when Wekel Kern left, that really raised my eyebrow because that put the number at 83. Now Caldwell puts it at 84. And I think they're at 84 on purpose.
Cool. And you say grad transfer. I always like that mentality because we all – also with the offensive line, you just want to bring in like a stabilizing force too, you know, like that matters too.
They're young. Their depth is really young. And we hear, you know, they really like Nate Kibble, but he's probably a year away. You know, and who – Jaden Chapman is, you know, a tackle. You would probably have to go Nick Brooks, I think, or maybe Jaden Chapman. I don't know. Maybe Kojo at right tackle. They're just really inexperienced. Even their starters are – Goosby's got what now? Three career starts, two career starts.
Yeah.
Baker with zero. Kojo hasn't played a meaningful snap yet. Chapman's played like two or three meaningful snaps, but as like the inline tight end. So, yeah, I think they need an experienced veteran presence. You know, it makes too much sense. And normally when something makes a lot of sense, it ends up happening.
Yeah. Which is really nice to have a coaching staff that makes sense.
Makes sense. we used to have all these criticisms of previous staffs, and people, well, you're not a coach. I'm like, it doesn't. You don't have to be a coach to see that they have this need.
Fact.
My least favorite thing is you're not a coach. Knowing the average tenure of a coach is 3.1 years, so most coaches don't know how to coach. And so that's the reality too of just like, guys, this is not some stalwart job where people are known for 20 years of success. Like,
yeah,
these guys move in and out, they get it wrong. It's actually rare when they get it right. That's what always cracked me up with, like, you're not a coach. Also acting like the barrier to entry to coaching was like some insane Harvard degree to get in. All right.
Yeah, they're not, you know, you get them talking anything outside of football and you'll be really surprised that they really focus on football.
These guys mostly know football. That's what we're gonna, and anybody knows, man, think of your high school coaches. It's not necessarily the most brilliant guys you hung around.
Yeah. They are the same strain of that, man.
Yeah, for sure. I love my high school coaches, but man, I wouldn't. Now being an adult, I'm like, I can't imagine trusting those guys with anything, dude.
Everything's related to football. It doesn't matter what situation.
Yeah, dude, it cracks me up, dude. I also love coaching motivation. Like, if you're not a scheme guy, all you can do is motivational quotes on your Twitter to help the coaching field. And it's the most, like, I'm 14 in what is the Reddit? I'm 14 and this is deep level motivational and just drives me nuts, dude. I can't do it. Or coaches before every clinic, they put up like what our program's about, just list six words, and they're like, we're about toughness, relentlessness, going for it. And it's like, has there ever been a coach that's put up like our team's about being weak, dumb? Yeah. Like, it's like, of course, man. Every team wants to be smart, tough. But, man, that's some inside baseball there. If you guys, for the clinic watchers, how annoying that is to open every clinic with that. Any info on Spencer Shannon? Good question.
Yeah, played quite a bit, obviously, this spring with Jordan Washington out. He was the second tight end when they go to two tight ends. Emory Winston was ahead of him, actually, when they were in 11 personnel. You know, maybe he plays this year. It's sort of an inline guy, but for the most part, it's going to go injuries. It's going to go injuries, Washington, and then either Winston and Townsend or Townsend and Winston, and then probably Shannon. But if they do need to go 12 personnel and injuries is winded or whatever, Spencer will probably play. I'm probably getting questions about him because some dope had him as his breakout candidate this year or something.
Dude, that was so dumb. It also shows you how media works because, like, some random ESPN guys, like, picks him as a breakout, and then suddenly three of these, like, CFB accounts on Twitter also pick him. And I'm like, y'all are clearly just reading ESPN articles and acting like you know what's up. That was a weird one. Have you got any sense, Eric, from, like, sources of, like, how they feel about this team compared to last year's team of, like, 12 NFL talents? Like, are they – noticeably like this is going to be a harder year for us, or like what's the vibe?
No, I don't think they feel that way. They love this team. They think they're physical. They're extremely hungry. I think the youth movement has been good, and really having like all 85 or 84 right now guys bought in. There's so much competition that really, I think, provides a lot of energy. They're really excited, really excited. Yeah. Sark just spoke at Touchdown Club and he called them, it's a really hungry group. And there's no, you know, there's no turds in the punch bowl. You know, everybody's, you know, Nick Brooks had a run in. That's not, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
He's not a diva in the locker room. He's not, you know, they had a couple of guys that weren't perfectly bought in last year in the locker room. And that's better this year too. So it's going to be a really easy team to root for. They're fast, they're physical. Yeah, we'll see some youthful mistakes at times, but there's still plenty of experience as well. It's all going to come down to, hey, can they get that run game going? And is Arch who we think he is?
Is this the first year that it's all Sark, all his guys, recruit-wise?
Let me see. Is it really all Sark, all his guys?
Is it – what was Taff?
No, it's just now, because I know Derek Chang was the guy that pushed for Taff, and that was obviously the Herman. He never played for Herman, though, I don't believe.
Okay.
I'm trying to think, going through the roster. Yeah, I mean, they're – all the O linemen are 2022s, right? Or older or younger, I mean.
All the running backs, all the wide receivers, Arch, of course.
Yeah, the DT's aged out. So
edge, linebacker. Yeah, I mean, it's all Sark minus like Taff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if only I had a chart. All right. Yeah. Yeah. It also makes sense too, man. These guys have all been specially selected for their mentality, athleticism, to feel like Sark's team. So that makes sense.
Yeah, oh, that's another thing he mentioned in the at Touchdown Club was, if you go back to the 2023 class, how many of those guys had won state championships or competed for them?
Yeah.
I remember those articles. Like, when you went down the list, it was, you know, Anthony Hill, Trey Wisner, Leonga LaFau. Just keep going down the list, and it's a lot of guys. All the Westlake kids in the 2020, you know, Colton Vossick was 2023, right? So he was Westlake. You know, it's a lot of state championships in that group.
Yeah, just winning teams.
Yeah. Hey.
Cool. So what do they? What happens at the Touchdown Club? Is it like a dinner? Is it like a?
It's a luncheon where they have other guest speakers. Like Mattress Mack always goes up there, and he's got something to say. And
nice.
It's a room where I'm usually the youngest by about 20 or 30 years. Joe Cook is younger than me, so Joe Cook's the youngest. And Houston Touchdown Club does all kinds of work. Joey McGuire is getting ready to speak to them. Everybody put on award shows, high school award shows. They give out college awards. It's a great thing. A guy named Neil Farmer runs it. He does a great job. But it's awesome. You know, Sark gets to meet with a lot of the – he takes questions, too. He takes questions from the peanut gallery. I was sitting next to Bob Moses at this event, and Bob played in the 50s. One of the most important donors of the last 30 years, you know, maybe not so much now. He's a little bit older. But Bob, no matter – every time I see Bob, he's, how fast is this team going to be? How fast is this team going to be? Because Bob, you know, Bob was a giant guy that could run well. He was a little bit ahead of his time. But now was his chance with Sark. He's like, when you first got to Texas, I told you, you got to get a faster team. And I want to thank you for having such a fast team. And then, you know, Sark's able to talk about all the combine success they've had. But, yeah, it's a good event.
That's cool. I thought Gilbo was inherited by Sark.
No, he might have committed to
TCU.
No, he was committed to the Herman staff. And then there was a little bit of a, you know, how much does Texas really want me? I'm going to go to TCU. And then Texas says, well, we really do want you. And they're like, then I'm going to go to Texas. And so he bounced back. But he was committed so early, I believe, that he was a committed player to the Herman staff. But he's still class of 2022.
Cool. All right, chat. I appreciate it. Eric, Coach Dub, I appreciate y'all as well. And this was brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Seriously, go there. A lot of good stuff. I was there this weekend. Later, y'all. Peace.